Kate Clark clearly remembers the morning she and her children had gone to the park to play. And she remembers one of their playmates who decided to do something that was daring and adventurous.
He makes his way to the top of the slide and he climbs over the protective barrier. And just as I'm running, he bounds into the air and his sneakers come down and crash right on my head. I feel my neck crack, kind of like a whip, and the two of us almost like become like liquid. We just both fall to the ground entangled, and I can't move at all. I'm just laying there in the wood chips. I can hear things happening around me. I can sense that there are people around me. I can hear one little girl screaming at the boy to get off of me, but I have no ability to move.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Kate Clark's whole world changed that day at the park, and she shares her story with us today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I feel a little bit like our listeners are going to hear an audio movie today. You know, the story we're going to hear, which is actually from Kim Anthony's new podcast, which is called Unfavorable Odds, and it's part of the Family Life Podcast Network. This is a remarkable story, a real life story of a woman who lives in Illinois and who suffered a dramatic, really a life-altering accident one morning at the park, and how she dealt with this and how her family dealt with this. I know as you guys have been in pastoral ministry, you've walked alongside families who have had these kinds of life-altering moments, and it takes some pretty remarkable adjustment and requires a depth of faith that we're not called on to exercise every day.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing to negotiate as a follower of Christ is personal pain. That's one thing when it's somebody else, and that's difficult. But when it's you or your spouse or your kids and it's that close, it is a test of your faith in God. Where is God? Is he here? Will he heal? What if he doesn't? Can I still believe in God? And this story is that whole journey.
And it's also hard as a mother to recognize that this will impact my family forever.
If you're the one who has experienced mm-hmm. that trauma, whatever it is,
yes.
if you're the one who has been impacted, yeah, you're starting to think, first of all, what's your identity? If you've been a wife and a mom and now all
right.
of a sudden—
Who am I?
Right. The story we're going to hear today is a remarkable story. It's episode 3 from Kim Anthony's new podcast, which is called Unfavorable Odds. And Kim interviews people who have gone through life-altering kinds of challenges and have faced those challenges with faith. This interview is with Catherine Clark, who began one early spring day thinking it was just another day when you take your kids to the playground, and realized pretty quickly this was not just another day.
If you've ever played tag and braved a sport with a group of children, then you know that before long, you are the only one being chased. And that's what's happening. I have this kite string of children on my heels. And, you know, I'm happy and I'm laughing and I'm beating these kids at their own little game.
There
despite my like flip-flops and jean skirt, I'm having a great time. And unbeknownst to me, though, at the same time, there was a boy who was climbing this large play structure full of tubes and slides. And he reaches the top of the slide, Kim, and he's not really tempted by these purple slopes on this day. Instead, he makes kind of an ill-fated decision. He climbs over the protective barrier, and just as I'm running, he jumps. And his sneakers crash on my head. And together we collide into the ground, and his elbow is shattered, and I am paralyzed from the neck down.
Kate,
one minute you're running around, dodging kids.
Right.
Playing tag. Mm-hmm. The next moment, you're on the ground. Tell me what was going through your mind. What were you feeling? What were you sensing while you laid there on the playground?
So I knew right away something was just catastrophically wrong. I'm trying to move. I can't move. I'm lying on my back in the wood chips. And I never lost consciousness. And so I sense that there are kids kind of pressing around me. And I hear one of the little girls, you know, screaming for the boy to get off of me. And he's screaming that his arm is broken. And I didn't even know he was on me. And so I immediately know something's terribly wrong. And pretty soon after they whisk the boy off of me into the office, there's a teacher at my side. And I can tell by her expression, too, that something is not... this is not good. And she begins to pray. And I, too, I'm praying pretty quickly, please, please, Lord, do not let me be paralyzed. Because I know as much as I want to, I can't move anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you were attempting to move your arms, your legs?
I think my brain was attempting, yes, okay, too, but there's nothing happening. I'm just stuck kind of staring into the sun and feeling, you know, these children who are very confused. And I didn't know where my kids were at the time. Actually, my daughter at this moment, you know, when she realizes, I think one of the teachers said, oh, she's just resting. And my daughter knew, no, this is, something's wrong here. And so she runs to find her big brother. And one of the girls I was playing tag with also ran to find William. And she beat my daughter Gwyneth there, and just tears coming down her face, said, you have to come, your mom is hurt. And actually some other kids also ran to William, and they tell him, your mom is dead.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So he doesn't know what to think. He's not sure if there's a trick happening here or what is happening. And so he kind of slowly makes his way and doesn't even probably, I don't know if he's ever even quite able to get a good glimpse of me, because now there's quite a large, you know, group of children. And the teachers get on top of it fairly fast, you know, whistles start to blow, recess is cut short, and I actually didn't see either of them at that moment.
Okay. How did your husband learn about what happened?
There was a parent at the school who held a cell phone to my ear, dialed my number, and I wasn't crying. You know, I'm feeling a little panicked, but I just tell him I'm hurt and that he needs to come right away. So he was literally in the middle of typing his doctoral dissertation, and he's halfway through a sentence, and that sentence won't be returned to for many, many, many months.
So they take you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They perform an MRI. Mm-hmm. What were the results?
That there's obvious injury from the MRI. My spinal cord has been crushed and lacerated. They need to do emergency surgery. And he tells us we are looking for someone who is willing and able to perform this operation. And when they do find the surgeon and he arrives, he's quite honest with us. He tells us, this is a Christopher Reeve level injury. Mm. It's dangerously high and it's very serious. And, you know, for any of your younger listeners who aren't familiar with that name, you know, Christopher Reeve was the first, you know, person who played Superman. And so for us, we have a pretty vivid image of the, you know, once strong 6 foot and some actor who was confined to a power wheelchair. So that name immediately gives us a real sense of the seriousness of what is happening.
Tell me what was going through your mind. Hmm. Where did your heart go when you heard those words?
Hmm. Well, you know, when I was in the MRI, that's a long process. And I remember being pretty calm and praying persistently. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want to hug my children. I want to braid my daughter's hair. I want to run alongside them. And just very much, Lord, please let this cup pass from me. I don't want this cup And so when I get the results that it is kind of what in the back of my mind I'm thinking that it is, it's a blow. It's an additional blow. But I'm not hopeless. I'm not hysterical. I'm still very much, maybe a little bit in shock and thinking, okay, so the next step is surgery. Yeah, then I was wheeled in for a very long journey of where they were going to cut the front of my neck open, remove the broken fragments. And he told them that they needed to then fuse together things back together with some hardware and some donor bone.
And when you heard what the procedure would be like, did the doctor express any hope that possibly you would be able to walk again?
You know, he was a realist, I think. And I think paralysis is not really for the faint of heart. And he was very much honest when he came to my family and friends who were in the waiting room after the surgery. He told them, I'm pretty sure she's going to come off of the ventilator that we inserted for surgery. And beyond that, hope is discouraged.
Hope is discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So your family has literally been told not to hope.
Correct.
In your recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in the room. And I don't know that you have given up hope. After surgery, describe for me what it was like to begin the recovery process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're absolutely right. I hadn't given up hope. I belong to a strong Savior who does the impossible, who does work that doctors can't do. And so I haven't. I'm very much living in that moment of I believe, help my unbelief. You know, that's kind of a downbeat of my day. And what's lovely, Kim, is I have people around me who are also hoping. That's
yes.
The beauty of Christian community, where even when you feel like you can't, you know, in some situations when you're faltering, you have people around you who can buoy you and hope for you. And so I have both of that. And one of the really, I think, just both painful and precious moments that my husband would remember, he would say there was this moment where my daughter comes to him and she says, is it okay that I pray that mom can walk? And she's heard the words from the doctor's mouth that she's not getting out of bed on her own. She's never going to walk again. So life as you know it is changed, is over. And so you need to start something new. And so there's this moment in parenting where you think, okay, so do we believe what we say we believe? And what do I say to this precious child? And he tells her, yes, pray for that.
Yes.
And so she presses in and she prays that her mom can walk.
Is God still good, whether someone walks again or not?
He absolutely is still good. And this is just the hardness of the reality of this side of heaven. Now, one of the things I think that we sometimes, you know, we make this mistake of saying things that are good when they're not good. For example, sometimes I'll hear people say things like, I'm so thankful for cancer. Well, I'm not thankful for cancer. Cancer's horrible. Cancer's death. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, who is life and light, and who is the one who can use horrible things to produce good. Mm-hmm. And God is most definitely good, and he can use those very, very painful things in our lives that he also hates. He can use those things to produce beauty and goodness, and just he writes amazing stories. So we don't need to call evil good, but we need to be thankful for the one who is good.
Mm. And the one who is walking with us.
Amen.
Were you always able to sense the presence of the Lord? Was there ever a time after the accident where you felt abandoned or you wondered where he was? Mm. Or was your faith unshakable from the very beginning?
There are definitely times where I just felt like, Lord, do you see me? Do you see me? And I think that even still today, you know, we go through times where we doubt and we just wonder, Lord, do you see me? And yes, I think, and that's again, like those moments where it's not our grip that's so sure, it's his grip that is sure. Thankful for that. So glad that he's not counting on me.
Yes.
My pastor once recently said, you know, God does everything and we do something. And I said, yes, okay. I'm going to do my little something, but the Lord has me.
He has me. And no one can snatch us out of his hand.
That's right.
There were times when your faith, or possibly, please correct me if I'm wrong, that hope that you would walk again were challenged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about a couple of scenarios. And the first one was when you were driving your power wheelchair down the corridor, and someone stopped you, and they asked you a question that really took you off guard. Tell me, what was that question?
I remember that so well. So I'm, you know, using my power wheelchair on my way to therapy, and this woman stops me, and she says, are you a quadriplegic? And I didn't even know how to answer that. I just was kind of stunned. And quite honestly, no one had said those words to me, not even the doctors. They didn't tell me that I had quadriplegia. So it's the first time I've actually heard the words. And I'm a little bit stunned. And I'm just, I don't even think I answered her. I don't, or if I did, I can't even remember what I said. It was probably something intelligible. But then I kept going to therapy. And then I asked my therapist, am I quadriplegic? And she said, yes. And so it's just this crazy moment where I'm thinking, what are you talking about? It's the first time I've heard the words and they do not sound good to my ears.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another instance. Your son makes a comment. What did he say? And how did that affect you?
So, yes, one of our favorite things, my kids would come in the evening and we'd all have dinner together. And then they would love to drive my wheelchair really fast down the hallways. Thankfully, they were large, like wide hallways. So he's sitting on my lap and he's driving the power wheelchair. And we reach this end and we see the sign. And he's kind of contemplating it, handicapped. And he says, Mom, are you handicapped? And before I can even answer, he's like, oh, you know, wait, you're a quad. And it was like the breath just went out of me. And I'm trying to hold it together. I know I didn't say anything to him. And he just kind of, you know, kept going. And so when he left, I remember someone has helped me get back into my bed and I had this sweet nursing assistant and she came in and I just wept. I don't want to be a quad. I don't want my kids to think of me as a quad. These are words that are painful and not good.
Before I move ahead, I'm going to take us back to post-surgery because you described what it was like lying in that bed, the pain that you sensed, the difficulty breathing. And I would love for you to paint a picture of what that felt like.
So, you know, I think with some people who have quadriplegia, they have nothing. They don't feel anything. But with others, and this is my case, I felt like I was almost like had bricks upon bricks being stacked upon me. And so I felt like I couldn't move because I had like the weight of an elephant, you know, pressing down on me. I had this increasing pressure upon my body. And then in addition to that, my brain and spinal cord were just not working well together. My brain knew something was wrong, and so it just started to send pain signals and constant pain signals. And it actually still does that to this day, sends pain signals. It still thinks there's something wrong. You're injured, you're hurt. So yes, when I was lying in bed, I was just sensing the enormity of this pressure and then the nerve pain. Mm.
Now, through it all, you said you were not afflicted with the question, why me? Mm-hmm. However, you said you were harassed at times by the question, why? Mm-hmm. From your perspective, what's the difference between why me and why? And is one or the other more acceptable?
I didn't say why me because I had been in so many good churches where we had talked about pain and suffering. And this is a part of the Christian life. You don't get by without having a cross to pick up. And Jesus Christ tells us to pick up our cross. So I wasn't actually surprised that I was in pain and that something terrible had happened to me. But I was wondering at times about why. Like, was this somehow caused by something in my life? I mean, I remember there was like this moment right before the injury where I had this sort of this prideful thought flit through my mind. And I thought, oh, is that why this happened? And so I was a little bit harassed by just wondering why. It doesn't throw the Lord off guard when we ask those questions, okay? I mean, the Psalms are full of them. I love the Psalms. It's just honesty. He already knows what we're feeling in our heart, so yes, we might as well just utter it right back to him. And so we can ask those questions. But we also notice in the Psalms is they'll ask that, but then they'll always return to who the Lord is. Okay. Yes. So what's important is when we ask that question and then we, in the end, we remind ourselves, but this is who you are. We need to continually be confessing words of truth about him, singing words of truth about him, because we are so prone to forget. So yes, we can ask the questions, but if we just stick to the why question, it's this maze that you will not get out of, and it can really turn you inward. And that's not really a good place to be, just continually looking inward, because you'll start to feel a lot of pity and despair and things like that. You need to turn your face back to Jesus Christ.
Well, again, we've been listening to a part of an interview that Kim Anthony did with Catherine Clark. And I hate to even jump in here. It's kind of like we just watched the first half of the movie and we don't get to hear the rest of the movie. And I'll just mention to our listeners, you can hear the rest of this story when you go to familylifetoday.com and download episode 3 of Kim Anthony's new podcast, which is called Unfavorable Odds. You'll find the podcast information online at familylifetoday.com. And this is a story you want to hear the rest of. I tell you guys, I was thinking as I was listening, something I've reflected on often when I hear stories like this, the time to build a strong faith and trust in God is not when you find yourself in the middle of the valley. You build that strong faith and trust so that when you wind up in the valley, you've got a rock to stand on.
I remember being in my 20s hearing Tony Evans say, you never see them pouring the cement basement in a downpour rainstorm. You're always building your foundation when things are good. It's not easy to do that, but this story is inspiring. Mm-hmm.
And the truth of life is, as we've just heard, every life will encounter a storm.
That's right.
It's coming. It's not an easy thing to say, but I've preached this many times. You're either in a storm, you've just come out of a storm, or you're headed into one, which is not fun. But here's the truth that we just heard, and you're going to hear the rest of the story, but it's like that storm can make you better or bitter. The choice is yours.
And the truth is, God is in the storm.
with
He's
you.
He's always there
That's
with
right.
us.
But it's hard to always remember that in it, which is the journey we've been on. But there is a God that can really make us better if we can come through that the way He wants us to.
Well, it's clear that one of the reasons why Catherine was ready for that storm is because she had a walk with Jesus every day. And when this happened, she knew right where to go. You go to Jesus and say, okay, what do we do now? And you said we can hear the rest of the story. We can go to familylifetoday.com and download Kim Anthony's entire conversation with Catherine Clark and maybe subscribe to Kim's podcast, which is called Unfavorable Odds. Information about subscribing or listening to today's interview with Catherine Clark are all available online at familylifetoday.com. We've got copies of Catherine's book, Where I End, in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com or call to order at 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And let me just say, if you listen to the extended conversation that Kim had with Catherine Clark, she talks about how her surgeon eventually came to her and said, I can take no credit for what's happened here. God did this. And she also talks about eventually seeing the boy who caused the accident and how she wound up processing her thoughts about that encounter. So again, that's all available on the extended podcast version of today's program. Now, we are hoping that all of you are taking some time this summer to get into shape. And I'm not talking about physical shape, although that's good to do. But I'm talking about your marriage relationship, relational shape. We have designed here at Family Life a series of workouts for couples that some of them are designed to build strength in your relationship. Some are designed to get the heart racing, you know, build cardio in your marriage relationship. We're calling this the Stronger Forever Summer Workout Plan, and you can sign up and receive it from us. It's free. You can download the whole thing. We'll send you regular prompts to keep you going during the plan. And here's the kicker on this. One of you who signs up to get the information and participate in the Stronger Forever workout schedule, we're going to draw your name, and you'll be our guests on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, Valentine's Week of 2020. We'll cover the cost of airfare for you and your spouse, your stateroom costs, and we'll put you up in the hotel the night before the cruise. Again, no purchase necessary to enter. The contest began on July 1st. It ends on August 30th. The official rules can be found at familylife.com/strongerforever. Sign up there for the summer workout, and one couple that signs up will be joining us on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise in 2020. So find out more. Go to familylifetoday.com. Strengthen your marriage during the summer months. And then it'll feel like summer in February when you're on the cruise with us, Valentine's Week of 2020. Again, all the information about the workout plan and the cruise are available online at familylifetoday.com. And we hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church. And I hope you can join us on Monday. We'll introduce you to a couple who had a very difficult start to their marriage. Their first 3 or 4 years were very hard, and they'll explain why on Monday. But they'll also talk about how they learned that the only foundation for a struggling marriage is for you to be anchored in the right stuff. You'll meet Aaron and Jennifer Smith Monday, and I hope you can be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.